We're going through John chapter 10 here. We're talking about the I ams of Christ all throughout the book of John. And we've covered that Jesus is the bread of life. We talked about he is the light of the world, and we lost that. There we go. And we talk about he is the door of the sheep, right? And today we're going to talk about that he is the good shepherd. Kind of tied in last week where we talked about the idea that he was the gate, right? We talked about the idea that they would go with their pens and the shepherd himself would lay down and keep watch over his sheep. And he would act as that door, and in here would allow them to go in and out. And Jesus says, I am the door, right? He is the only way to God. He is the way, the truth, and the life. But anyway, we call the idea of the sheep. Jesus says in John chapter 10, verse 11, says, I am the good shepherd, and the good shepherd gives his life for the sheep. And you read the Bible, you don't have to get too far to see this relationship between shepherd and sheep. I always think of David, a man after God's own heart, who was a shepherd from his youth. And in here wrote many of the Psalms we have today, but we see sort of the adventurous life, if you will, of the shepherd. At one point, David went to face Goliath. And everyone's like, oh, you're just too young. You're too much of a kid. You can't do much. And David's like, wait a minute, I was out with the sheep. And I killed a bear, and I killed a lion, right? What is Goliath? If the Lord was able to watch out for me in those circumstances, the Lord can take care of me anywhere. So Jesus uses this illustration for himself that he is not just a shepherd, but he is the good shepherd. Back in John chapter 10, it says, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd gives his life for a sheep, but a hireling. He who is not a shepherd, one who does not own the sheep, sees the wolf coming and leaves the sheep and flees. And the wolf catches the sheep and scatters them. The hireling flees because he is a hireling and does not care about the sheep. So Jesus sets himself in contrast to those who really don't care about the flock. He warns them, be careful of the hireling. Now what is a hireling? Hireling is just a hired hand. Right? I've known people over the years that have had owned businesses who blood, sweat, and tears invest in those things. I talked to one business owner. He's like, yeah, it's hard to find good help because you hire someone and they don't care as much as you do. They have nothing invested. Right? When the going gets tough, they take off. And Jesus uses this as an illustration. He is the good shepherd. He laid down his life for his sheep. We see this relationship he has with the sheep. We're going to see later on that Jesus knows his sheep. We know his name. He watches for us. He cares for us. He loves us so much. He died for us. The shepherd, the good shepherd, longs to have an intimate relationship with you. And we see this played out. Now, I don't know. Does anyone here have sheep? All right. We were actually in one church, and we had a couple that bought sheepdogs. And not the big fluffy kind, not the English one, but the Australian ones. And they had two of those, and apparently those dogs don't sleep. They are full of energy. And so they actually bought sheep for their dogs. To herd up so they would have something to do. The dogs were bored and they would herd the kids. Round them all up and chase them down. So they break it down to buy some sheep. But you can see how much we tend to care for animals. Like, I don't have sheep, but I have a dog. And, you guys told the adventure of our dog getting poisoned and coming through. And appreciate your prayers and that. And I like to think I'm a big, tough guy. But man, when I thought my little doggy was going to go, I was a mess. I'm in the vet and I'm crying. I'm like, oh no. And they're like, yeah, if it goes bad, he's going to start hemorrhaging. It's not going to be a pretty sight. And I'm just like, oh. Right? I know I'm tough, right? I just got this big macho exterior that you see before you. But I'm a softy, right? Even if something happened to my cat, which is, he's evil. I've talked about him. He's an evil animal. Spawn of the devil. I don't know, but if something happened to that little guy, I'd feel bad, right? I mean, I think the Lord allows us, these animals, to worm their way into our little hearts. I talked to a lady that they just invested in horses. And you see that bond. And actually, she got into horse therapy and how horses can help people through trauma and stuff like that. It's amazing the emotional attachment we can have with these animals. And the Lord uses that as an illustration for us, but he warns us that there are those who are out there who are not seeking our best interests, who are seeing these things as an end to a means. And we're warned throughout scriptures. Jesus says, look, beware of false prophets who come in sheep's clothing, but inwards are ravenous wolves. Be careful who you listen to. Be careful who you read. There's a lot of false teaching that is out there. And they're doing this to earn a quick buck, to gain prestige and power and all these things. Doing it for the ego. I remember my uncle-in-law. I don't know if that's how you say that. My wife's uncle, who turned around and once asked, he goes, you know, is there a lot of money in what you do? And I said, well, not the way I do it, you know. Right? But you see, I always had these visions of these televangelists growing up who have the jets and the rings and the cars and all the fancy things. And sometimes you wonder the motivation behind all these things. See, the problem with the hireling is they're doing it for the wrong reason. And when that reason falls through, they watch out for themselves and not the flock. Matthew 24, Jesus warns, says, then if anyone says to you, look, here is the Christ, or there, do not believe it. For false Christs and false prophets will rise and show great signs and wonders to deceive, if possible, even the elect. See, I have told you beforehand. We are told to watch out for deceptive tricks and signs that's out there to lead us astray. Right? To be seeking after signs and wonders is a very dangerous thing to fall into. Now, this morning we spent a good portion in prayer this morning. I believe God heals. I believe God still works. I believe God cares for us. But we see this even when Jesus was alive. Those who pursued over the signs and wonders without the message, without the word, without the life-changing gospel of Jesus Christ in our lives is a dangerous road to go into. And Jesus warns of false believers, of false teachers, of false Christ. 2 Corinthians goes in the same concept. For if he who comes preaches another Jesus whom we have not preached, or if you receive a different spirit from which you have not received, or a different gospel which you have not accepted, he goes, you may well have put up with it. The warning he gives the Corinthians is, look, be careful. There are those who's going to come through, and they're slick speakers. They'll tell you what you want to hear, but they're false. Right? They're shepherds in name only. They're really hirelings. So in here, be careful of what's out there. We live in a day and age where, for the sake of unity, people drop truth. For the sake of numbers, we'll turn their back on the very Word of God. Years ago, I remember sitting down and we were at a pastor's breakfast. And this is when gay marriage was going to be on the docket. So we're talking, what, almost 15 years ago? Has it been that long? And so in there was an open letter that our group was going to put in. And I think it was posted in the Bangor Daily News, of saying, pastor saying, look, this is not biblical. And one of the pastors there from a big, large church in Bangor, he's not there any longer, and asked him if he would sign this pledge. He goes, I agree wholeheartedly. I believe this, you know, what the Bible says. I believe all this. He goes, but I cannot sign that. And someone asked, well, why? Because if my congregation knew, they would fire me. And I lost a lot of respect for that man that day. Because he was afraid to tell the truth. Yeah, I don't know what this world's going to turn into. And we see how quickly society can turn against us, that for your faith, for standing on the Word of God, it may cost us something. It may cost us relationships. It may cost us jobs. But so be it. And be careful of those who will come and preach something else, who will not stick to the truth. They are hirelings. They're just doing it for themselves and not before the Lord. Acts chapter 20. Paul is heading off to Jerusalem, and he knows from there he's going to head off to Rome. And he's saying goodbye to the elders of Ephesus, and they gather all together, and this is his goodbye speech. As I was reading this week, it really touched heart, because at the end of this, he sits down and the elders come and there's weeping and they're going to miss each other and they hug each other because of the love they have for one another. And that's a relationship a pastor should have with his congregation. And I know the days ahead are going to be hard and heavy and But I hope I've been a good under-shepherd, as Christ is the over-shepherd. And know that we've loved you guys. And because of that, I always want to give you the truth. And Paul laid this down. It says, for I know this, that after my departure, savage wolves will come upon you, not sparing the flock. Right? There's two attacks that the church has to put up with. One is from the outside. We see this, the pressures of our society, to conform, to affirm, to water down. The attack comes from the outside. But the second one is even more dangerous and more cynical. It says also, from among yourselves men will rise up, speaking perverse things, to draw away the disciples after themselves. Therefore, watch and remember, for 3 years I did not cease to warn every one of you day and night with tears. I think the most diabolical is when problems arise from the inside. That in there, backbiting, division, tempers, all these things come in, and the greatest threat is not from the outside. I think we expect that. We can stand strong from the enemy that is outside. The danger comes in from the dangers from the inside. And be careful. Be on guard. Stick to the truth. Stick close to the great shepherd, the good shepherd, to lead and guide us. Because not everyone is a good shepherd. Talk to the idea of the good shepherd, the qualities of him. One, he gives us a supply. John chapter 10. Starts off, I am the door. We talked about this last week. If anyone enters by me, he will be saved. And will go in and out. And I love that. Will go in and out and find pasture. And the thief does not come to except to steal and to kill and destroy. I have come that you may have life, that you may have it more abundantly. The idea of the Lord will provide for us. 23rd Psalm says, the Lord is my, what? Shepherd. I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pasture. He leads me behind still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in the path of righteousness for his name's sake. Talk about the idea the Lord will take care. The Lord provides and cares for his sheep. I like that in verse 10. He says, the sheep go in and out. They're not fearful. Right? They're not afraid to go out. You know, think of this within the situation of the church, the body of Christ, right? That we are here and we're a family bound together with Christ being our good shepherd as we bind in together. That we gather here, but we don't have to just hide here, right? The real work starts when we leave here. We go outside these doors. That's where the challenge is, right? I mean, the challenge shouldn't be church. If that's the problem, then we got bigger problems, right? But this is where we should go, where we feel encouraged, where we feel loved, where we have people who will pray for us, who will encourage us. Right? Not just the pastor. Right? It's the person next to you, behind you, across from you. That you're the body. That the people around you will pray for you. This morning we pray. Why? Because we care and we know God answers prayer. And that's attractive to this world today where people are living for themselves. But in here we have the courage and we're prepared to go out of these doors. And I don't know what struggle you have in your life. I know you do, because we all do. But know that the Lord is with you. Right? The Good Shepherd, he says, I will never leave you nor forsake you. He will take care of you along the way. And in there, that gives security. Right? That gives us that sense of safety in this world. Church isn't a place where you run and hide. It's where we come and be encouraged. You know, I always picture it as, you know, this is this halftime in the locker room. You know, the battle, the game is out there, right? But we come back in and are encouraged and refreshed to go back out into the field. But the Lord is the one who goes with us. When we leave this place, think of the verse where it says, may the Lord watch between you and me while we're absent one from another. Now, I go this way, the Lord goes with me. You go that way, guess what? The Lord goes with you. That you are always in the shepherd's care, in the shepherd's watch, and he will take care of you. My God shall supply all your needs according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. All your needs. Notice this isn't all your wants. Right? But you know what? God gives us some of our wants too. We serve a good God. We serve a good shepherd. Matthew tells us. Says, oh, what man is there among you? If his son asks for bread, we'll give him a stone. Or if he asks for a fish, will you give him a serpent? Right? As a parent, I want good things for my kids. Often I spoil them. I can't help it. Why? Because I love them. I want to give them good things. This is what Jesus talked about. Look, in this earthly realm, right? What? Who's going to ask? You know, your kid asks for a bread and you give him a rock? No good dad would do that. You know, kid wants a fish, give him a snake. No, as earthly parents, we want what's best for our kids. I think one of our goals is we would love to see our kids do better than we did. And I think sometimes because of that, we protect our kids a little too much. Right? Because of our love for them, that we don't always let them experience the hardships of life. But how much more so is Christ? So if you then being evil know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father who is in heaven give you good things to those who ask him? Right? If we were to talk about the goodness of God in our lives. First of all, we start with the premise. Guess how much stuff I actually deserve?
How much of God's goodness do I deserve? None. I don't deserve any of God's goodness. The Bible says that at one point I was an enemy of God. I was lost in my sin. I was marred by this world. But He loved me. And He loves you to draw you to Himself. As many who believe in Him, He gives the right to be called the sons of God, that we are His children. We don't deserve any of that. But I'm glad He loves me. Aren't you? And because of that, right? All I can do is love Him and serve Him. And I let Him down and I fail Him, and yet He picks me up again. Forgives. If we confess our sins, He's faithful and just to forgive us our sin and cleanse us from most of our, no, from all unrighteousness. What shall separate me from the love of Christ? Shall height or depth? Nothing. He pours out His everlasting love upon us. And because of that, we are safe and secure in all those things. And along the way, God pours out His blessings upon us. Once again, I don't deserve it. You know, I kind of push aside sort of this prosperity gospel. Now, if I have just enough faith, right, I'll be healthy, wealthy, and wise. That's not what the Bible talks about. But the Bible talks about a God who loves us and pours out His goodness upon us. And He blesses us along the way. Right? Going forward, the Lord already knows your next pastor. In our case, we're like, the Lord already knows what house it is. He hasn't shown us yet, but it's going to be there. Otherwise, we'll be living in our car. The Lord's going to provide. Actually, my wife and I were kind of flipping through Zillow and going through all these things. There's a little bit of panic in our voice. And there's a very wise 16-year-old in our house. She's like, Dad, God's got to take care of it. Wait a minute, I know that. I'm the dad. I'm the pastor. I'm the one who, right? I know it. But, right? Don't you? You get that too, don't you? You know God's going to take care. You know it. You quote the verses. But the heart's like, I'm not going to ask for a show of hands, but how many of you guys have been there before and God's provided? Right? He is the good shepherd. Do you think He's led you this far to abandon you? No. The same God who has brought you safely to this point is the God who will safely see you to the end. Amen? So we see His supply. We see His security. I want you to be impressed because all these start with an S. That's hard to do for me. But God gives us His security. I'm going to go back to the 23rd Psalms. It says, yea, though I walk through the valley of a shadow of death, I will fear no evil. Why? For You are with me. Your rod and Your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup runs over. The Lord gives us security. The good shepherd walks with His rod, fights off the enemy, and leads us, guides us. When the little lamb is too tired, the shepherd picks him up and carries him. When the enemy comes in, the good shepherd puts himself between the little lamb and the enemy. He is the good shepherd. to protect us, to guide us along the way. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. Why? Because he's there. Because he's there. Years ago, my oldest was just a little squirt. And we went out fiddleheading. And someone told me where this spot was. It was out on this river to cross over, and there's this little island. So we go down and we get across, and we get out there and we're looking for fiddleheads. And then the rain started to come. And it came down really hard. And all of a sudden, this little brook turned into this big river. So we're on the island and we got to get across, and we're looking through, and the place we had crossed over had filled up. There's that much water. So I was kind of panicking, and I'm thinking, look, if I don't get my daughter home, my wife will kill me. And so we head out onto this little tree that had fallen over. And I'm like, we got to get across here to get back to safety to the land. And we start going across, and my daughter is looking at me like with these big eyes. She says, Dad, I'm scared. I'm like, oh, it's okay. It's okay. Meanwhile, I'm going. And so we get about halfway, and my daughter, she's like, Dad, I can't do this. And she kind of just clings to the tree. It's there, and the water's raging underneath it, and it's getting worse. And I'm like, we got to get out of here. And I'm like, we need to go right now. And she's like, no, Dad, no, no, no. And I said, look at me. Is there a statute of limitations on child abuse? I looked at her, I said, listen, if you don't get up right now, I said, I'm going to beat your butt, and you'll never sit down again. And she's like, and so she reached out, she took my hand, because at that moment I had to have her be more afraid of me than the river. And she reached out, grabbed my hand, and we came across. And I said something every father has said to his child: don't tell your mom. I can't think of how many times over the years when driving in a snowstorm and it got really scary and precarious, and my daughter's in the back seat, totally oblivious to what's going on. In the middle of the danger, she just trusted Dad had her. In the middle of the storm, Dad got her out. And time again, I can't help think of how many times our Heavenly Father, the Good Shepherd, has fought the fight for us. Of how many times we were in danger and we didn't even know it, and he provided. He is that shelter that we can hide in. It says, the Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? The Bible says, perfect love casts out fear. Is there anything in our life that is too big for God? No. Right? Is there any situation in your life that God can't handle? No. He is the good shepherd, the lead, guide, and direct. It says, he who dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, he is my refuge and my fortress, my God. In him will I trust. In the shadow of the Almighty. Are we so close to the Lord that we are in his shadow? See, the problem is we often get far out. We think we got this, we wander off until we leave the Lord behind, then danger comes in. Folks, stay close to the shepherd. Stay in his shadow. It's safe, it's secure, and he's got you. And lastly, the good shepherd, he is our salvation. Look what he says here back in John 10. He says, I am the good shepherd. I know my sheep and am known by my own. As the Father knows me, even I know the Father. And I lay down my life for the sheep. And other sheep I have which are not of this fold, them also I will bring, and they will hear my voice. And there will be one flock and one shepherd. He is the good shepherd. And he knows us by name. And we know him. When you accept the Lord Jesus as your Savior, his Holy Spirit now comes and dwells in us. I think of that old hymn, and he walks with me, and he talks with me. He tells me I am his own. The fellowship we have with the Lord is sweet, and he has drawn near to us, because now we belong to him. We are his sheep. He is my shepherd. And he laid down his life for you and me. I pray this morning that each one of you knows the Lord Jesus Christ as your Lord and your Savior. See, we're lost in sin. Because of that, we're separated from God. But Jesus, the Good Shepherd, came. He died on the cross for you and for me to pay for your sin, to bring us into the fold. He died. Buried and rose again. And if we will believe in him, turn from our sins, repent from our ways, and draw near to him and follow him, he will save us. He brings us into the fold. He told the disciples there, look, I have other sheep that you don't know of. We are those sheep. It's not certain stock and certain breeds. See, the good shepherd, his expertise is bringing in the lost wild sheep that's out and around. Those that don't belong anywhere else, he finds us and seeks and saves those that were lost and draws us all together into his family. If you were to look around us, we are a very diverse group of people here. We've had different paths to this point. We have different backgrounds. Yet he is our shepherd. We are all part of his fold. Therefore, the Father loves me because I laid down my life that I may take it again. No one takes it from me, but I lay it down myself. I have the power to lay it down. I have the power to take it up again. This command I have received from my Father, that in here he has laid down his life. He paid the penalty. He paid the cost. Greater love has no man than this, and he laid down his life for his friends. Jesus died for you. For God so loved the world, what? That he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. We are all brought in to the fold. It says, surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. That I belong to the shepherd. You belong to the shepherd if you've accepted him. What a place to be. Luke 15, I'll wrap up with this. Jesus tells a parable. He says, he spoke a parable to them saying, what man of you having 100 sheep, if he loses one of them, does not leave the 99 in the wilderness and go after the one which is lost until he finds it? And when he found it, he lays it on his shoulders, rejoicing. And when he comes home, he calls together his friends and neighbors, saying to them, rejoice with me, for I have found my sheep which was lost. I say to you, that likewise there is more joy in heaven over one sinner who repents than over 99 just persons who had no need of repentance. Rejoice. The sheep that was lost was found. That's you and I. If you've accepted Christ as your Savior, he has taken you. I love this picture. He takes that little lamb that's been beaten and dirty and
filthy, and he takes it and puts it upon his shoulder and brings it home again. Maybe you're here this morning and you've wandered from the Lord. Maybe you've lost your way. Rejoice, your shepherd has not abandoned you. He draws you near to restore you into the fold. I'm thankful that when I mess up, he brings me back. He is the good shepherd. If you're here this morning, you do not know the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior. You're not following the shepherd. I encourage you to turn to him. If you draw near to him, he will draw near to you. If you confess your sins, he will forgive your sins. He paid for it all. Christian, stay in the shadow. Trust the shepherd, because he is good. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you for your word. Lord, we thank you for how you reveal yourself to us in these ways, Lord. Lord, you are a great God who knows our name, who protects us, who keeps us. Lord, I pray we draw near to you. Lord, we ask this in your name. Amen.